evening, everybody. This is W2TTT for K2BAR, the station of the Bergen Image Radio Association, and this is the TechNet. The TechNet is run on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. on the Bergen County FM Association repeater 14679. We're very happily ensconced here, courtesy of our brother-slash-sister club, the Bergen County FM Association, which we encourage you folks to join as well as the Bergen Amateur Radio Association. You do not need to be a member of the club to participate in this net. Let me try this a little more bass. It's probably nicer since I'm on FM. In any case, we hope that you'll find it appropriate to join, but you need not join to check into the net. We welcome all licensed radio amateurs to participate. Let me amend that. We recognize and welcome all licensed radio amateurs with privileges in the 2-meter band to participate. In any case, my name is Gordon, and I live in Bergenfield, and we also have three other nets during the week. The 10-meter net on 28350, run by K2ZO. That's on Mondays. On Tuesdays, again at 9 p.m., we have the, I believe it's 444 or 443-100 that has the Hackensack machine. And that net is run by KF2ID. On Wednesday night, Noel runs the 2-meter chat net here on this repeater, again at 9 p.m., and that's N2OEL. The purpose of this net is to exchange information about anything related to amateur radio or the related technical or, operational arts, if you will. Ham radio or amateur radio is a technical hobby, so as long as it's even ever thinly related to ham radio, you are more than welcome to bring it up. If George wants to ask us a question as to how best to position himself for safe viewing and operation in a moving motorhome, and we talked about his motorhome deployment for a half hour or an hour, that would be just great. So that's just putting that in context as to how far afield we can go. In any case, we look forward to your questions. To check in, you'll do the following. You'll provide your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, or none of the above. So, that weak station who came in just before we started the net, would you try it again, please, to check in? This is K2BAR. Here's Whiskey India, 2 Whiskey, WICWC, just listening, going to be out of range portable here momentarily. Okay, good evening, Steve. Very good. Very good. I sense that you're not going to have a question or a comment, but we know you're listening. W1GI, Mitch, did you want to check in? This is K2BAR.
Hey, it's K2BAR, W1GI. My name is Mitch, and I have no questions for this evening, but I'll listen in, and if possible, if I can help someone, I'll certainly add my 2 cents back to that.
That's why we encourage check-ins. Thank you, Mitch. Not just to be able to ask the questions or provide comments, but to provide answers to other people's dilemmas. Alrighty, moving right along. Who else in the whiskey department? Since we're on a whiskey roll, let's continue that. This is K2BAR.
This is W2JEK. No questions.
Okay, Don, good evening, W2JEK, got you in. Anybody else with a whiskey call, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Next will be Kilo Station. The station is beginning with Kilo. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment.
K2AR, this is KC2SQP Stewart. Yes, I do have a question later on.
Okay, Stuart, I got the fact you have a question, KC2SQP, good evening. Another station with Kilo, please call K2BAR.
K2 WBAR, this is KC2BYV. Richard, no questions or comments at this time.
Hey, Richard. Good evening to you. Nice seeing you yesterday, by the way, at the 1070 meeting. KC2PYB, W2, probably this is K2BAR. It already tripping over call signs. It's too early for that. Alrighty. Any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
KC2SKL, Kelly, none of the above.
Hi, Kelly. Long time no here. KC2SKL, K2BAR, no problem, but we got you in here. You sound good tonight. Your signal's solid, so I don't know what you're doing, so we might come back to you and find out what you're doing differently, just for grins. Alrighty, any other Kilo stations, please call K2BAR.
K2KCL, repeater.
K2BAR, this is KC2SQP. I'd have to go out for about 10 minutes. I'll get back on. Query.
Okay, very good, Stuart. No problem, KC2SQP, K2BAR. Any other Kilo stations?
KO2OK on an HT. Bennett here. No question.
Okay, Bennett, good evening to you. KO2OK, K2BAR. Any other Kilos? Alpha stations, please call K2BAR. Station? Okay, any station wishing to check in at this time, please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or a comment, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
NJ1W, Dave, no questions.
Hi, Dave. Not having heard you for a couple of weeks, that's nice to hear you again. NJ1W, K2BAR, any other stations?
Yeah, and that's 2K, Jim. No questions quite yet.
Guys are killing me. One guy with a question is taking a 10-minute powder here. Ah, oh, dear me. Okay, good evening, Jim, and that's 2K. Good evening to you. Alrighty, any other stations, please call K2BAR. Alrighty, well, since immediately we don't have a question, a couple of quick announcements. The Barra meeting is Sunday night. I recall that we will have a talk on a particular kind of antenna, and I'm going to keep that as a bit of a surprise. Maybe someone else wants to detail it out later, but the particular kind of, shall we say, effective game antenna that will be discussed, I believe, on Sunday night. We meet at the Red Cross building, Ridgewood. We gather about 7, and of course, we actually have the meeting about 7:45. So it will be a delightful time, to say the least. In any case, we're rocking and rolling with that. And I'll be coming home from a First Holy Communion in the afternoon, so I'm going to be, I might even be dressed up, who the heck knows. I'm not sure. Alrighty, in any case, we'll start with that. And let's see, stations thinking about the warm weather, and you should be. It's time for good antenna work, although one could argue the best antennas stay up if they've been iced on the day that they were put up. And we also should be checking your grounds and redoing those, and also getting ready for field day, VHF contests and the like. I know Tony and a crew were over at the garage and inventoried everything and started the generators, gave them their periodic workout, so that's a good thing as well. So, do we have any other questions or check-ins at this time, comments, whatever, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, Howie, Harry Town, and I have an antenna question.
Okay, Howie, you're a little noisy, but in Tarrytown, I need your call sign again, please.
Kilowatt 2 Echo India Romeo, Ohm's Law.
Okay, very good, Howie. K2EIR. We'll get you in a minute with your question. And, let's see. Was there another station trying to check in? Please call K2BAR. Here's another station with a comment or a question. They could have sworn there was a second carrier in there. Okay, Howie, it's all yours, K2EIR. Nice of you to join us, and didn't realize that you were among our listeners. This is K2BAR, Gordon W2TTT. Mike.
Roger, Gordon. Well, this is my first time listening. I've meant to before. I'm using my handy talkie. I was hoping to get from my mobile to my apartment to before checking in, but since you had a so few questions, I thought I'd go ahead. Okay, it's just this. I've been bringing out a vertical for HF to my car. It's 29 feet. And instead of using a vertical, I thought maybe I'd put open wire line, ladder line, not open wire, ladder line, 450 ohm ladder line to the top. I think it'll support it because it's just a fiberglass pole. It can't support very much. And a number 22 wire, 40 meter dipole because that's the longest I really can support or have the space for. But I want to run it on 75 meters, so I'll use an antenna tuner. And I just want to try that out. But my problem is, I have 50 feet of ladder line. Just stand by a moment, I'm going to reset this. Okay, I have 50 feet of ladder line, and I don't want to cut it when I'm just experimenting to see how it will work. Now, do you think having 20 feet of ladder line in a coil near the bottom is going to be really bad? Does anyone know? Has anyone ever tried it? And I'll take any comments about this antenna setup that anyone cares to make. I'd be interested in, you know, I'm going to try it, so I'll find out for myself, but I'd be interested in other people's opinions. This is K2EIR.
Yeah, well, just categorically, ladder line, just like open wire feed, should not be lit, coiled up and laid on the ground or coiled up in a ball in the midair or anything like that or near metal or anything else, so... I think that's your the nature of your question kind of tells you that, you know, probably it's not a great idea. That's in fact true. What you could do is you could cut it and go for it. You could also just simply get a piece of RG58. Since I sense you'll not be running a kilowatt with that 22 wire. You can get a piece of RG58. Put about 6 to 10 turns in a 6 to 8 inch loop, taper, you know, or make a coil out of it just below the feed point, and away you go. That's your balun, and you don't even have to do that if you don't even want to bother. If you're worried about the weight of that, just tack it into the wire and support it, and away you go. I mean, you could make it that simple. I've made dipole antennas with it, with ladder line, and also with coax, with a random piece of wood and everything lashed on with with the wire itself, tied in a clove hitch to grab each side, and then using the center piece, just twisted the wires together, and then I have to strip in the wires with a pocket knife, so. I've made it just with a random piece of wood I found in the woods and made insulators that way and just went about it. Didn't even close up the connections or anything. I just put it up. And they worked great. It's a great little scout lesson if you're or portable lesson. You don't have to have all the pretty stuff. You can make do with a lot of stuff that you wouldn't think you could. Anybody else have any comments for Howie? This is K2BAR. Okay. Howie, I know you want to operate 80 meters. I think ladder line probably is a good idea, rather than, you know, trying to feed with coax, because you're trying to get every little bit of length you can out of the deal. I understand that. But one other thought I had was if you don't mind a heavier antenna or patterning it after a heavier antenna. I've bought an Alpha Delta DXDD, and I'm ashamed to say this, but I bought it because at one time I forgot an antenna tuner. I needed a reasonably resonant antenna for something I was doing in an hour. So it was like, okay. It was just easier as I drove by, ham radio outlet in Delaware, just to walk in to the pizzeria, order my pizza, go into ham radio outlet, buy the antenna, go into the pizzeria, go pick up my pizza, and run out the door, and continue on my way to Annapolis. So that's what we did. But when I got home and it sat here for about a month or two, I said, well, let me put it up. So that's 100 feet long. It might even be shorter, actually, but it's 100 feet long. It's an 8040 antenna. And it actually works on all the bands just fine. So it's just something else to think about, too.
K2GCL repeater.
Comment.
Comment, go.
This is W1GI. K2EIR. Is the reason using number 22 wire because it's not visible to the tend to use this is leading to something.
Howie, someone doubled with you. This is K2EIR. I'm going to try to switch to my other rig in a moment. The main thing is I'm using like a fiberglass fishing pole as my main mast, and it has to be at my mobile, not at my apartment. So those are.
Essentially, your string and dipole or a long wire between that and your apartment. Did I get that right?
Say again.
The question I have is whether the fiberglass rod is acting as one end of your a support for one end of the antenna, and I guess the apartment is at the other end?
Negative. What I do is I go out to the mobile, some distance from the apartment. I have a base mount that I drive, one of these tire mounts. I made it myself. I drive the tire over a plank of wood. This holds the base down, and basically I have a 20-foot telescoping fiberglass fishing rod, one of these crappy rods, that's the name of it, the kind of fish, crappy. And I have 2 4-foot sections of PVC. These are the car, but it all can assemble. When assembled, it's 29 feet. I've done pretty well with a piece of wire up the mast and a coil, homemade coil, at the 8-foot level. Mobile mount, and that worked very well on 75. But I wondered if I couldn't do better. If I know I could get a 40-meter dipole in the space, and still support. I think I can support it with that mast. So if I set it with open wire line, a 40-meter dipole may not be so bad. But I figured that way I'd have twice the wire in the air and. For losses, but hopefully not too much. And the open, the lateral line would be able to take the mismatch, between the dipole and all that. You know, I could cut it. I just prefer not to cut it at first. And even if I do cut it, I'm kind of wondering what to expect. Hope that answers your question. I wasn't sure if you'd call. There was someone doubling with you for a moment. Hopefully I'm getting through. This is K2EIR.
Okay, this is W1GI on the K2BAR TechNet. The question, the thought came to me that perhaps you should use the ladder line as your antenna, short the ends and feed it in the center, which would require, of course, opening it on one length, and that would give you effectively a folded dipole, terminated, not a terminated folded dipole, but a folded dipole. And and effectively twice as much wire in the air, and I'm wondering if through the antenna tuner, and in that case, needing some other kind of line, obviously, to bring it in to the tuner, whether that would be more efficient, more effective on certainly on the lower bands. So that's my two cents. That's why I asked the question.
Roger. Well, it's a good suggestion. I do think that would be a little too much weight, that especially with the top two sections of the fiberglass rod. It really can't take anything. In fact, I don't know if I can do 22 wire. I may have to go to number 38, which I have around, and I would do it if I couldn't support the other. I'm hoping, because I haven't tried it yet, that it'll support the ladder line okay. The ladder line is number 18, stranded wire on each side of the thing. I think Ocean State Electronics sells it. Back to you.
Question or suggestion?
Go ahead. This is W1GI.
Yeah, I was thinking about this little dilemma. And what you may want to do is not use the top parts of your crappy pole, and instead replace it with 5 or 10 or even 15 foot sections of masting, telescoping masting, like the kind that's swaged at the end, like Radio Shack, so 5 foot sections. That'll get you 10 feet or 15 feet in the air, and then you can put your crappy pole on top of that. So you can kind of have something that fits in your car trunk conveniently and gives you that 15 feet in a more rigid mode. Might actually get you above where you're thinking of going even now, over.
This is K2EIR. I have some 5 foot aluminum TV masting from Radio Shack, and I've looked at all the different combinations I can put together between PVC and the aluminum masting and the telescoping mast, and it doesn't work very well trying to, you got to clamp PVC to the aluminum with U-bolts. I don't have anything that where it slips over. Whereas everything else, the way I've made it, I have some connecting sections of PVC. Everything else sort of plugs into each other very nicely and unplugs. So I think I'd have a little bit of a problem mechanically supporting it. You know, there's really two aspects of this. There's the electrical the RF thing, what makes a good antenna, resonant, non-resonant, coil loading, whatever, linear loading. There's the whole thing about antenna design, but there's also the physical support structure. And quite frankly, the first thing that I have to master is the physical support structure. I don't have too many possibilities there. That's why I can't run it from my apartment. K2EIR.
K2JEK.
Go ahead, Don.
Okay, Howie, I had a thought on this. I don't know if you're constrained as to how much, how long that antenna can be. The common G5RV, the standard G5RV, if you call it that, is 202 feet overall length. That's fed with a section of ladder line approximately 33 feet long, and then after that, coax. But if you're using a tuner in a mobile situation, a portable situation, which I guess what you're doing working out of the car, you could, the G5RV himself recommended that the if you wanted to use that antenna, you could use it strictly as a an open wire fed antenna rather than the G5RV configuration with the combination coax and open wire. And yet being 102 feet long, it would be more efficient, although I have heard that a 40-meter dipole would radiate about 95% of the power on 75 meters if you could load it up with your tuner. I don't know just how good that would be. I haven't heard a lot of glowing reports about it, but it might be something to think about. Back to you, W2JK.
Thank you. 102 feet, I think, would be too much wire for the mast to support, but even if it wasn't, typically what I'm doing is I'm parking in a reserved parking spot I rent here in the complex, and Midwest are very hilly, and it's hard to find a parking lot or whatever where I can do this. Usually I want to be at an edge, so I have some grass. And, you know, for example, if I have a footing meter inverted V, I will use some tent stakes or something like, you know, some plastic stakes at the ends to hammer into the grass, or also hook it onto a tree branch, you know, that kind of thing. Those are the other two supports for the inverted V, you know, naturally occurring or into the ground, because I don't have any more masts I can put up quickly. And I'm usually operating at night, and so I don't want anything that's a big problem in the dark. So you see, I sort of make a lot of constraints for myself. Thank you. This is K2EIR.
K2GCL repeater.
I have a question for you, Howie.
Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, just out of curiosity, do you end up with any, shall we say, undue attention from law enforcement officials?
Absolutely. I will give you a case in point. I went out, I have both an 80-meter or 75-meter vertical. You know, the only thing that differs in this setup is the coil. For 160 meters, I wound like number 16 wire, copper wire enameled on a very large Skippy peanut butter jar, the kind you get at those discount clubs. In my case, Sam's Club. So I was out one night in my apartment complex because, as I said, it's very hilly. And instead of parking in my reserve spot, I parked uphill elsewhere in the complex, the highest spot in the complex that was far from power lines, because the whole complex has overhead power lines. So I parked there, and I had a little problem with my battery going in my keyless entry and alarm system. So my alarm went off a couple of times, just briefly. And so one of the neighbors called the police, and he insisted I take down my antenna, and otherwise he'd tell the property manager. So, yes, I definitely have had problems. K2EIR.
God help us all. All right. I'm beginning to understand why people move to the boondocks and live in trailers. I'm sorry. Oh, God. All right. Well, that's interesting. God knows we all have our stories of that kind of stuff, but I was just wondering in this particular case whether you had a problem. And on your own resident property, you've had problems. Go figure that. Oh, well. Well, you know, half the time I find cops don't even know what ham radio is anymore, which is interesting in itself. Alrighty. Anybody else have comments for Howie? Howie, you have any more questions for the crew?
Just one for you, Gordon, and has my signal improved? Because I did move from the handy talkie to an indoor antenna here in the apartment, but with a little bit more power. Other than that, thank you, and I do hope that I provided some point of interest for the group. I'd appreciate a signal report. K2EIR.
Give me another transmission again.
Okay, actually I was hoping to move the antenna because I see now on receive somehow you've gone from full scale to half scale, so I must have some other antenna problem here. This is a very old antenna.
No, I've actually been swinging my antenna. If you're listening on the input for me, I've been swinging my antenna around to hear people on the input. It's been fun. In any case, on my Omni vertical on top of my tower and mast, you're pegging my meter, and you were copyable at all times, even when you were on the handy talkie walking around. So I wouldn't worry about that. I'd actually copy you up at Tarrytown from here, and I don't have a great location, frankly. All righty. Well, thank you very much for that, and you're welcome to join us anytime, whether or not you have a question. D2EIR. We'll clear with you and see if there, before we go to SQP, I believe he was going to be back with a question. I want to see if there's anybody else who'd like to check in with or without a question or a comment. This is K2BAR. Okay, no problem. K2 K2SQP. Stuart, what is your question? K2BAR. I guess his 10 minutes has exceeded 30, so, or maybe 25, so it happened. Alrighty. Just a reminder, we do have a Baron meeting on Sunday night. Before we go on to that, NS2K, by any chance, are you able to speak to the topic for Sunday night? This is K2BAR.
K2BAR, actually I'm not sure exactly what the topic is. I know there is one, and it'll be a good one, but I don't recall exactly what it was. Anyway, I could come up with a question if I were so pressed.
It beats having me come up with one.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm kind of looking at a Prius. I've been tossing around Camry hybrid versus Prius hybrid, whatever. Anyway, I finally got to talk to somebody, and they've kind of talked me more into the Prius direction. I'm wondering what folks have had, if there's anybody on the net who may have had any experience with the RFI situation with Prius.
That's a really good question. How do you spell Prius?
P-R-I-U-S, made by Toyota.
P-R-E-I-U-S. Okay. No, P-R-I-U-S.
Yeah, P-R-I-U-S.
Alrighty. I haven't heard anything directly, but something in the back of my mind says there was an issue, and I don't know what it was. I think it was more of a question of how do you ground the antenna and how do you get power for the radio. I think those are the ironic questions of the day.
Yeah, I'm sure that there may be, yeah, it's very, very dependent on installation. And, you know, I don't know if they made any improvements over the years. I know early on they were really, really bad. In any case, if I had to, I'd step back to, you know, FM-only operation. So it's not like the worst thing in the whole world. But, you know, if there were some possibility of running HF as well, that would be nice. Actually took a little bit of a ride this evening, and it was kind of interesting that it's a rather radical step from driving the CRV, which has very high front window. Any of the style Toyota has a very low top edge of the windshield, and it's a little claustrophobic, I suppose. There's plenty of interior room, and actually with a seat all the way back, there's still tons of room for people in the back, and it's okay.
Yeah, I got you, Don, hold a second. I just found a device. There's a website which I think I could read up on. It's www.priups.com/ham-12b, all lowercase. So it's priups.com/ham-12v, all lowercase. They describe a module there made by a company called Vicor, which is a 150-watt module that will take 300 volts DC from your Prius and give you 12 volts of good efficiency. Apparently there's also a 300 and a 600-watt version. It's kind of amusing. The box will take anything from 375 to 200 volts to do its job, but so 300 is right in the middle of the working range. So that's something to think about, too. It's from Vicor. As I say, it's priups.com/ham-12v. So good to look at that website. Alrighty, Mr. Don, over to you. W2JEK, K2BAR.
Okay, K2BAR, W2JEK. Jim, the only person in the club that I know that owns one is Jim, K2FJ. So I don't know whether he's ever put a mobile rig in it, though. But, I might ask him. He might have some help on it. But the only person I know that's a ham that has one.
Just another thing, the article in question here is from August 2006. This person paralleled two of these modules. I think I would be more inclined to just get the spunkier module and go from there, but that would just be me. Anybody else have a comment?
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, Jim?
Yeah, we've used Vicor at work. They make some rather high-end product for military or industrial use, and they're not inexpensive. But, yeah, they make it's some gorgeous, gorgeous stuff, and I'm sure it would work. Yeah, I see. Okay, so this is probably an isolating version. They have them both isolating and common rail. And, of course, at that point, you're not subject to the IR loss between the battery and the chassis and all that foolishness, as you can isolate yourself from that whole mess. I could see where that would help a lot. I saw Jim. I think he does have an HF radio on the car, and I heard indirectly that he had some complaint about RF noise on HF, I believe. It was like second, third-hand quote. So maybe I'll be able to grab him at the meeting on Sunday night. Anyway, thanks for the report there. And that's okay.
You know, there's another approach here, too, and that is to consider putting a deep cycle battery in the trunk, charge it with an isolating charger, and essentially switch it out of the circuit when you're transmitting, so that way your battery only on transmit. That might be a cleaner way of operating. That way you free yourself of a lot of that junk in the first place. That may be another way. With respect to the cost, I'm going to draw your attention to the cost of the Prius hybrid versus a comparable gas-only vehicle. You're already paying a premium. While you don't need to exacerbate it excessively, it's probably within the pain threshold of the cost of doing that kind of business in the first place. Just a thought. It sounds intriguing. When they have the equivalent of a 6.8-liter 10-cylinder engine for a large van that's preferably four-wheel drive, that I'm going to pay full attention to these. In the meantime, I think I'll pass. But it's certainly intriguing. At this point in my life, I just can't do anything from a mid-sized car down to a roller skate. I just can't do that. It's not an option. I need to haul things regularly and continuously. NS2K, one more for you, and then we'll go around for somebody else. K2BAR.
Yeah, well, of course, you can always, it might well pay to split up the load of, where in my case I drive 35 plus miles a day, stop and go. It might make sense to have that as a relatively high efficiency car, and then something much more industrial and practical for transport of goods that I don't subject to that same travel. At some point that would make sense, and it might for me, but not yet.
Yeah, absolutely. My problem is that I don't even take my kid to school every day, and on some days, on most days, I mean, virtually never, actually, do I bring him home. So, it's just the nature of everybody else's patterns around him, and the others, you know, one's in Washington doing the mass transit thing, and the other one's, does his thing. He could probably deal with a hybrid, except for when he travels long distances, that could be a potential problem. For me, it would be okay, I suppose, if I just had to commute to Middletown, New Jersey every so often, and nothing else, it'd be fine, but essentially, I don't seem to take any trips of less than 60 miles ever, and they're usually 50 miles one way or more, so heavily laden, so it's not terribly, at this stage of my life, this is what I need to do, but it's coming. It's coming. I think my breaking point is probably around $6 a gallon. That's just, you know, the cost of a new vehicle and such. That's how absurd the equation is. Anyway, maybe it's down to $5. Who knows? Alrighty. Thank you, Jim. That's a really interesting question. And the Vicor stuff, is that you say it's expensive, but it's really good. And the isolating output is probably a godsend and a half to keep the RFI out. So, anybody else with a question, comment, or confusion for the net, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, KC2AWX with a question.
Harvard. Go ahead, Harvey. What is your question?
It's unusual to get an intelligent question from me, but here goes.
He did say that, right?
BLD. Can you operate PSK-31 and get points on that? Also, the other part of the question is, on UHF-VHF contests, say, on 6-2 and, 6-2 and 440, can you use PSK-31 and get points for that. Over.
I'm going to answer them in the order of competence, not in which they were they posed. First of all, I was teasing when you keyed up. Just before you asked your question, I made a funny at your expense when you asked about an intelligent question, and I just shook my head, but all your questions are intelligent, Harvey, so don't worry about it. And this one's actually pretty helpful. The VHF contest, you can use any mode you want. There's some restrictions on certain frequencies, repeater frequencies, 146.52, and satellite frequencies, you got to stay out of those, and then you got to follow the rules after that, you know, the law, whatever that might be. Yes, you can use PSK-31 to make contacts in the VHF contest, sprints, etc. To your point about field day, there are rules changes for field day this year that I'm not clear on. A lot of the special mode stations, I think, have been replaced by some sort of educational station requirement. I didn't quite understand it. I heard about it a while back, and then I heard dribs and drabs of it at the 1070 meeting last night, so I think you should probably check the rules. You can check the rules by going to the ARRL website, ARRL.org, clicking on contests or operating events, and finding field day, or go in the search box and just enter field day rules, and you will be taken to your answer.
N-O-T-T with a comment.
N-O-T-T. Good to hear you, Mr. Jerry. K-2-B-A-R. Go ahead.
Okie dokie. Field day. You get 2 points for every Ritty contact, 2 points for every CW contact, and 2 points for every PSK contact. However, the moment you go in VHF, in order to get a contact, Harvey, you have to have somebody on the other side, and you won't find almost zero cues on the VHF side of the band. Whereas on the low bands, 20 meters especially, you'll find a lot of people, a lot of points. So, the name of the game is field day, 20 meters, and even if the CW guys, when you move over to Ritty or PSK on the hour for about 10 minutes, then we go back to heat up. And so between on the hour, 10 minutes after the hour, you'll find a lot of people to talk to and get points. 2 points per Q. Oh, back to net, NO2T.
Just one quick question, Jerry. Is that per the new rules for this year?
Yep.
Okay, but I know there are new rules, and I just haven't been following the Peel Day rules in a number of years, so I learned some things already. That's super. I also know there's, like, I know there's some, you know, there's no bonus for certain kinds of stations anymore. And, pardon me, they've replaced them with some educational requirements, I think, somewhere along the line. Such is life. Let's see, what else? Anybody else want to add things about Field Day or VHF contest? And I will just say this, 50.290 during VHF contest is lively, and also during Field Day, you'll get some cues there as well. I can't speak to the 2-meter equivalent, anyway, anybody else? Questions, comments, confusions, K2BAR.
K2GCL, repeater.
WP3SN.
WP3SN, hey Jose. Go ahead.
Hello Gordon, hello everybody, I just got home. Gordon, whenever there is a chance, I got a question about RFI through the ground system and the shot. I got some questions, so I need to install some grounding system. I have some questions about it. WP3SN.
Okay, we'll get you in a moment. Let's finish up the Field Day topic first. Anybody else?
Comment K2EIR. I just blew a fuse, so I don't know if you heard my last transmission.
We did not. Go ahead.
Okay, now I don't want this to be out of context because I know you moved from discussion of the Prius to Field Day, but so you tell me when it's appropriate, but I have a comment about operating out of the Prius or any other mobile.
Do it now.
Okay, I think I mentioned this to you personally, Gordon, but just for the sake of the other operators, when I go out and use my vertical and I'm operating portable, one of the reasons I'm doing it is to cut down on electrical noise, so I haven't run the engine when I'm operating, because that's just more noise and I didn't want to have to, you know, do all the work that you have to do at a mobile to get rid of ignition noise and so forth. So how do I power the rig? Well, I could power it off the automobile battery, but I know I'd run it down, and I wouldn't want to do that and not be able to leave, you know, especially when I go to a nearby parking lot, like a school or something like that, and not my apartment complex. What I wound up doing is buying a boost power supply. And what a boost power supply does, and for anyone who's not familiar with it, is it takes 12 volts. In fact, it can take 9 or 10 volts or 11 volts as your battery goes down, which it will do. And it will boost that voltage up to something like 13.8 or 14 or 14.4 in my case. The one I'm using is tgelectronics.org, I believe is their website, but it was on page 66, if memory serves me right, I think in the February QST. And the batteries I use, I take out, you can buy jump start batteries, you know, those things with the big alligator clips that have a handle on it, they're all contained. Mine, I think, has a 17 amp hour or 19 amp hour battery inside. I bought a couple of these units. I took off the giant alligator clips and I attached Anderson power poles to the number 4, number 6 leads that come out of the thing. And I put that in the car with the boost power supply and I operate off that. Now, I don't want to say that those batteries don't need to be replaced, but I go out, I go for an hour or so at a time, you know, to operate, and I don't have any trouble, and I think I could probably get 5 hours. So now there is a cost, of course, to the boost power supply, but I just wanted to recommend consideration by anyone wanting to do anything, and they'd be particularly good for the Prius, although he's going to have an independent supply.
good. Well, actually, you know, they're wonderful. I have a couple of them myself. I have the 100-watt model, no fan, with the RF switching. They came up with a marine version of it that's sealed with a remote switch. But I bought them all with the RF switching capability. And, in fact, I had it at the 1070 meeting last night, and I had it at the Barrett meeting back in January. It's in a box with a 38-ampere-hour battery. That's exactly what I do. I have an input cable that goes to a 12-volt source or 13.8 source to charge up a battery using West Mountain Radio power gate. And then the common output of that beast goes to the boost regulator. I have mine set for 14.4, I think, as well. The cutoff of 11 volts, I think, or 11, I think maybe 10 or 11 volts I set it for. In any case, it's set pretty well and works very, very well. The boost regulators are very good, and they're very efficient because they only have to synthesize the differential voltage. They don't try to do the whole thing, so it's much more efficient than just a straightforward switcher. In any case, anybody else have any more comments about this? And then we'll go to Jose's question. Okay, WP3SN, you have a new antenna, a radio, and all sorts of good things. Actually, before I go to you, I'm sorry. Howie, real quick, what radio do you use with that configuration?
The Yaesu FT857D.
Okay, I was curious because I use mine with a 7000 and also a DR135 2-meter only radio. Okay, very good. Thank you. I just wanted to calibrate everybody as to what you're doing. Nice little radio. I had one of those. WP3SN has a new antenna. He's going to describe it. He has a radio. He's going to describe that. And his speed line, he's going to describe that. And then he's got some sort of grounding problem because of
RFI.
Heaven forbid. I'd love to know what the RFI is speeding up on, too. So, Jose, tell us about it. WP3SN, K2BAR.
Okay, Gordon, thank you very much. W2TTT, WP3SN. Okay, antenna system. I just got a brand new 5 VTV. A Hustler 5 VTV antenna. A vertical antenna, since I'm limited on space. I do have a hip kit, SB101, and I got the RG8U cable for the feed line. Now my question is about the ground system. I live on a second floor, and it is recommended to keep the ground cable or the ground system as short as possible. Okay. I was reading on the instructions of the antenna, and it told me, it says about making two chokes on every end of the feed cable, the antenna cable, to avoid RFI to come back into the shack. Now, living on a second floor, my ground cable, it's about 25 feet long. I was thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, that if I perform the same operation on the ground cable, making two chuck coils at every end of the ground cable, it should help me to avoid RFI through the ground cable into my shack. Back to you.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand what arrangement you're doing with the coax that you also want to do with your ground cable. Are you going to try to put it through some sort of a piece of ferrite or something? I think that's what you're trying to tell us, is that right?
No, not exactly. The instructions of the antenna says to make air choke a balloon on the feed line to the antenna. That it's 6 inch wide and in diameter, and it's got to have, I believe it is, 8 turns. This will avoid the RFI to run over the feed line and back into the radio. The problem with having a long ground system or long cable for ground is that it'll resonate at various frequencies. What I was trying to do is to avoid having the ground cable to resonate at a different frequencies, or at least the RFI or the radiation coming back into my shack, is using the same procedure of the feed line into the ground cable, doing an air choke on the ground line itself. I asked around, nobody knows certainly if that will work or not. I'm just trying to see if anybody has an idea if that will probably help me to solve my problem.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, so these are radios. You certainly could try it. If you're going to use a piece of coax as your ground lead, I suppose you could, with the center conductor being the actual ground lead, but something doesn't sound right in that. These things are a little bit of black art. So I would think that go do the two air chokes on the feed line. Make sure you have your ground going to ground. Make sure it's not a multiple of a quarter wavelength on any amateur band. And start at that point and see what you get. Comment?
Hi, this is Don, W2JEK. That antenna, does that require a radial system? Usually if you need radials on some of those ground-mounted verticals, and that's the case, you should have a few verticals, should have a few radials there, not to rely on the shield of the coax that's feeding the antenna as the ground. The ground, it should be itself right at the wires, radio wires, right at the base of the antenna in most cases. Back to net, W2JK.
Go ahead. Okay. WP3SN. Yes, my antenna has all the radials that it's required. Actually, this antenna is kind of weird. It tells you not to use a mast over 5 feet because it'll defeat the purpose of the radials. So you need to have, I need to install a piece of lumber, 8 foot piece of lumber, and then a four foot piece of pipe to hold the antenna, because the instructions advise that you cannot use a metal mast on this, or at least no longer than 5 feet. So it's got all the radials, and the line has the chokes. The feed line has the chokes as recommended. Now, like I was saying, the problem is that my apartment, it's the second floor, and my ground cable, it's over 20 feet or over 25 feet, so it'll resonate between 10, 12, 15, 17, and 20 meters, and so I will be having problems with that. So I'm trying to find a way to avoid the RFI to come back to my shack through my ground cable.
K2EIR.
Good, Howie.
I always ask in these situations, if we're talking about a DC ground and not an RF ground, and after all the radials are going to be the RF ground or RF ground plane, why we need a DC ground, of this sort. It would seem to me that if you're on the second floor, and have the problem of whether it would be resonant, because that this so-called DC ground might be, long or might resonate, and so it could cause a little problem there, so you could decouple it. But the whole thing is, why do you need a ground altogether? Are you going to operate in lightning, in a storm? It would be advisable not to, unplug everything. Discharge, static from the antenna before you connect it to the rig, and disconnect your antennas from the rig, and disconnect the rig altogether from power when you're not using it. So I'm not too sure that even a ground is necessary. I don't really operate with one. I just raised that whole question, why you really need a ground, especially of the type where you're dropping a wire from the second floor to the physical ground. So I just raised that. I don't know if I should pass it to you, Gordon, or WP3FN. This is K2EIR.
Okay, I'm reading reports on EHAM on this antenna. Some of these are very funny. It seems everybody likes it. I think the real reason for having a DC ground in this case would be to make sure that if the antenna was struck, it wouldn't set the house on fire. So I think that's the whole point, is just discharge any, stray electricity that might be around. Just leave it at that. So I don't think you have to go crazy, but I think, it's something worth considering. I think the first thing you should do, Jose, is make those air coil chokes for your feed line. 8 or 10 turns. I think we discussed that earlier, and that actually was back to somebody else's request. Actually, it was Howie's. And then the other thing is just get some wire radials and spread them out. More is better. If you go to eham.net and enter 5BTV, you read the 9 reviews that are in here, and or 9 pages of reviews, and they're all pretty much, high ratings. People have realistic expectations for what a vertical antenna is going to do. But under certain circumstances, you're actually going to get out what other people won't. It's really going to be about those radials. So the more radials you get underneath it, the better. For the bands you want to operate, you need at least one radial on the longest band you want to operate. And depending on the harmonic relationships, you need at least one on some of the other ones as well. But if you can get 4, 6, 8, 10, 20 radials up in different directions, that's even better. So I'd consider that, at least 4, I would say. The other way you can get radials up and get dual service is to use small gauge twin lead. And cut one side of it for one frequency and one side of it for another one. Don't make them odd multiples of each other. Make them, one up. An even multiple of the others, so that you benefit out of it. So like maybe cut one for 80 and one for 15 or something, or 20. Not 20. 80 and 15, I think I would probably do. But anyway, that's up to you. Anybody else have comments? Please call K2BAR. KWP3SN. Back to you, Jose. K2BAR.
Okay. Thank you there. Okay, I got the radials, I got the chokes, I got the whole setup through the antenna, radio to the antenna. Before I had to take it down, because they had to work on the roof, so I had to remove the antenna for a few days. I tried the antenna in 40 meters, and when I did that, I got into every single electronic device in the house. So I know I'm having some difficulties right there. And I was reading over it, and I recommended to install a good grounding system to the radio to avoid that. Unfortunately, this house was built like somewhere in the 1920s, and there is no ground in the whole house. The grounding system in the house is not there. So the outlet's still 2 legs. I have replaced most of them to 3 legs, but there is no ground in the whole system. So that's That's the problem that I have with that. And so I have to go the other way and put an independent grounding system for the whole radio system. So that's the only thing that I'm working on, is to avoid the RFI back through the ground cable, since it's going to be over 25 feet long. All right, well, thank you very much for your opinions. I really appreciate your comments. WP3SN, back to W2TTT.
W2JK.
Okay, Don.
Yeah, Jose, it might be possible, if you could, to run two or three ground wires of different lengths. That way, if it was the one wire was resonant on one frequency, the other one would break it up. In other words, so you wouldn't have that resonance problem. That might be a way to deal with that too. Putting a choke in a ground wire is usually not a good idea. That's sort of like putting a fuse in a ground wire. I know some people do it, but it's better to put the fuse in the hot side of a circuit. But that way you might alleviate the problem that way, just a couple extra pieces of wire. Back to net, W2JK.
K2GCL repeater.
Yeah, I would agree. In fact, reading through these, it seems that the happiest people are the ones who have a radio for 80, 40, actually three radials or more for 80, 40, and 20. If you have three each on those bands, you know, a quarter wavelength times three on each of those bands strung out in different directions, that seems to people happy. I think that and the air coil chokes on the feed line, you can start there. Then I would worry about the 25-foot, you know, hard ground wire, because you might be better off without that, oddly enough. So start with the three radials and the air chokes for each band, and go from there. In fact, if you want to experiment, put three on 40 or something, and try loading up just on 40 with the air coil chokes on the feed line and the three radials. Try that. Then try it on 20, and try it on 80. The other thing you can do is cut your drive way, way back. Don't try to operate 100 watts. Try operating just for initially 5 watts. Just, yeah, get the antenna squared away, and then go from there.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I would just start off that way, and I will let you know, guys, how's everything going. I'm just going to... Okay. All right. Jay, just say hi. Okay. So, guys, back to the net. WP3SN.
Okay. Hi, JJ. It's Mr. Beatty. Hello. Good to hear you, JJ. Say hi to the rest of the crew, too. Say hi to Bebe and the rest of the family, too, Jose. We'll see you probably next Tuesday. Actually, there's a parent meeting during the Boy Scout meeting, so Phil will be there, and he will share it. Anyway, Godspeed, take care. WP3SN. Anybody else? This is K2BAR.
Comment, K2EIR.
Stuart, I've been listening. I've got a question.
Who's the one with the question, and then we'll go to the Harvey. To Howie. Who was that with a question?
Okay, so that's you, Peter. Stuart. Question. We were down at the kid night the other night, and we were talking a little, and we talked down to Australia, but when we got done, we gave 73 for a disconnect. The question is, is that the same number you use? Let's say you go down south and you're talking on someone else's IRLP. Would that be the same 73? If not, how would you find out what number to disconnect? That's my question.
It can vary a little bit, but that's not a bad way to, you know, to try it. In general, that's a common sign-off mechanism, yes.
All right, thank you. I thought there was a different number, but I appreciate it. Thanks again. This is KC2SQP.
Okay, it could be other things, but generally these things will time out if you, you know, totally blow it, don't worry. By the way, Stuart, in this round of transmissions, your audio is painfully low, painfully low. We're having to listen sharp to get what you were saying. When you came in, you know, an hour ago, you were a lot stronger on the audio. Your signal's fine, but your audio is just anemic, so, you know, next time just maybe talk into the microphone and talk up maybe a little bit, too. So 7-3 for now, and I will hand it to K2EIR from K2VAR.
Very good, Gordon. I just want to second your suggestion to Jose that he try just the radials without a without that DC ground or any attempt to go from, you know, second floor all the way down. What he could do is hook that up when he's not using it, you know, to get static discharge. And there are articles at QSD about lightning, and I'm not sure I've mastered everything in those, but and I've read in some places they don't like to use braid, you know, like the braid of coax, but I presume anything that helps discharge some of the static would be useful, as opposed to actual lightning protection. But that can be done, again, when not operating. You know, there are times to attach and times to detach, and I would second your suggestion that he operate without that and see how it goes. It may be that factor that's getting into its electronics. And the other thing is, of course, just as you said, power level. There may be a power level where he doesn't have to worry and can still work out, and he certainly can check things like standing wave ratio and matching with lower power. With something else somebody, Stuart, I think, said, and I wanted to comment on it, but I guess I'm very tired because the old memory is failing on me. K2BAR from K2EIR.
Yeah, okay, I'm just reading something here. This one, I mean, the 85TH writes, I love my 5BTV, and it's associated 72 radio ground fields. Well, yeah, spent more money on the ground field than he did on the antenna. He probably bought them both new. Matt Owen. Oh, by the way, you can go look at it. It's, it's his call sign at .com at 5-BTV-work, all capital letters, .html in lowercase. Amazing. Oh, dear me. I love comments like that. It's just 72 radio ground field. Yeah, okay. I'd love to be able to do that, too, but my 40-by-100 lot doesn't have any place to put them. Alrighty. Except maybe on 10 meters. I could do 72 radios on 10 meters. Maybe 15. If I'm in my dreams, maybe 20 if I'm really careful. Alright. Enough of my rantings. Anybody else's questions, comments, confusion about a 5BTV or other vertical antenna installations on top of a house with a second floor shack, please call K2BAR.
W2JK.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one thought is if you're not looking for a DC ground per se, but actually for an RF ground at the radio, at the back of the radio itself on the ground terminal, a quarter wave length of wire counterpoise strung around the molding in the around the edge of the in the second floor with the piece of insulated wire and have the end of the wire taped so because that's hard with RF. You might act as an RF ground, might calm things down for maybe something else to try. Back to that, W2JK.
Yeah, you can do that too. I don't know, Jose, where your radio is positioned, but if you had the ground lug, and you do on the back of that radio, you could add quarter wavelengths of wire in relatively straight fashion. You know, they can be bounced around, they can be stuck under the carpet, they can do all sorts of things. Don't have them cross power lines, and you'll be fine. You know, don't have them cross extension cords or other household power. Just keep them away from utility cords and appliance cords and things like that. Anyway, that's a good thing to think about as well. Anybody else with comments? K2BAR.
K2EIR again.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, if you don't have a ground lug, but you have more than one port, that is more than one coaxial socket on the back of your rig, you could put coax on the other socket that you're not using. For example, UHF, VHF, SO239, you put coax on that and use that as the counterpoise.
Yeah, except he's running a SB101. There's a ground lug on the back of the radio.
Roger, K2EIR.
Yeah, and no second antenna connector. In fact, I'm just wondering, does the 101 have a SO239, or does it have a ceramic phono connector for its antenna? I'm just kind of curious, Jose.
This has the ceramic phono connector, trust me. It did surprise me when I got home and I pulled the cable to connect it to my 10-meter antenna, and there was nowhere to connect it. So it got me thinking for a while that somebody just played a joke on me.
No, I asked that question because, I'll give you a little history. Somewhere in the wilds of Benton Harbor, Michigan, where Heathkit was headquartered, somebody got a great deal on a bunch, I mean bazillions, of ceramic phono connectors. And by God, every RF connector that could possibly tolerate it got one of those as their RF connector. I think the only thing that they didn't put that on was the output side of their amplifiers.
K2GCL repeater.
Okay, I see. Well, yeah, like I said, when I got home and I went to try it out, because I bought it at the auction, and I didn't even pay attention to it, to that detail when I got it. And when I got home, I pull up my cable. I'm gonna sit down 10 meter. I'm gonna start transmitting, and the connector was nowhere to be found. So I have to go over the manual and find out how to connect the antenna. Back to you, WP3FM.
Okay, good. We'd love to hear it, but three ground radials for 40 meters and two air coil chokes on your feed line. Start with that, and then go from there. But definitely put the radio up at the antenna feed point. Under the antenna. I would definitely do that first. All right. Anybody else? Questions, comments, confusions for that? This is K2BAF. Okay. Again, the Barra meeting is Sunday night, Red Cross Building on Godwin Avenue in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Meeting at 7:45. The gathering will be started about 7. There's coffee and cake-like goodies and all sorts of yummies. It's a lovely way to cap off a weekend or start a week. So hopefully you'll be able to join us. If you need talking, do give a listen on 146.79, but do that early because a lot of guys who are the most likely guys to give you talking are already there by 7 o'clock. But feel free. You can also send an email to any number one of us at ARRL.net, my call W2TTT2AMI, NS2K, there's millions of W2ML, WG2Y, but not at ARRL.net for whatever reason, and KO2OK, I think, has an ARRL.net email. So there's all sorts of them. Anyway, we look forward to your participation. So, on that happy note, I'll just leave a pause for any last comments, questions, or confusions for the net, and then we'll button it up if we can. This is K2BAR. Okay, well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for your time and attention this evening. It's been fun. A little slow start. We build the time as we always seem to. We're almost at a year doing this net, so it's kind of neat. I'd like to thank W1GI, WI2W, W2JEK, KC2SQP, EYB, KC2SKL, KO2OK, NJ1W, NS2K, Q
K2EIR, welcome aboard, KC2AWX, and O2TWP3SN, and this is W2TTT for K2BAR, the Bourbon Amateur Radio Association station, signing clear and thanking Bergen County FM Association for the use of their repeater. Godspeed and good night. The repeater is back to normal amateur use.